Hi, I'm Bandi Sujata. Welcome to Dhamma Threads, and I'm here with Simon Power to talk about a couple of verses from the Theragata, one of the books in the Sutta Pitaka. And the verses we're going to be looking at this session are verses by Kapata Kura, and these are verses number 2.40. Okay, here goes. This fellow, Rag Rice, he sure is a rag. This place has been made for practicing jhana, like a crystal vase filled to the brim with the nectar of the deathless, into which enough dhamma has been poured. Don't nod off, Rag. I'll smack your ear. Nodding off in the middle of the sangha? You haven't learnt a thing. So this is very unusual verse in the Theragata, I think, in the whole canon, really. Mm. And for presumably a monk to be threatening to whack another monk across the ear, perhaps it was suggested this is a precursor to the Zen tradition of using the meditation sticks to wake people up. So the idea is you have a fellow called Rag Rice, which I'm not quite sure what Rag Rice is, but it certainly doesn't sound all that nice. And he's kind of, I guess, falling asleep and nodding all over the place. And sort of he's contrasted with that depiction of the meditation hall or the place where they're meditating. It's been, you know, people have put that effort and that time into building a place especially for doing meditation, for practicing jhana. And, you know, like a crystal vase filled to the brim with the nectar of the deathless, right? So this is something is, I think, a very good reflection for us, you know, when we look at the different temples and monasteries and places, you recognize that people have actually put a lot of work into these things, you know, coming from a pure heart and pure motivation. People have donated their money, they've donated their time, they've gone there, they've worked hard, they've designed the place, they've built it, they've kept it clean, all of those things for the purpose of practicing Dhamma. So when we have the great benefit to be able to go to these places and make use of them, you know, very often, you know, we haven't built them. We haven't, you know, spent all that money or done all that work. We just get to use it. Actually, this is something that was one of my reflections when I was abbot of Santi Monastery, which I did for 10 years. You know, I really sort of felt that sense of gratitude and responsibility, feeling that I had benefited so greatly from being able to stay in different monasteries since the time I've been a monk, that I felt that I really should do something for others to help to develop a place so that they also could experience that. And so here, the monk is obviously feeling a bit outraged that this poor old fellow Rag Rice is there practicing in this place, which is so beautiful, and yet they're just wasting their time and falling asleep. So here he's just trying to wake him up, I'll smack your ear. And it's actually something which is quite an issue or problem, especially in the Sangha with meditating, because you know, in a sense, if you're in the lay world, when you come along to meditate, the problem for most people tends more to be restlessness because, you know, you've got so many things to do and you're so busy and so on. You come along to meditate and your mind's very active and thinking a lot. Whereas for monastics, often, you know, you live in a monastery where it's, you know, pretty quiet, there's not much going on, there's not much stimulus. And meditate is, you don't necessarily kind of, it's hard to keep that way of valuing your meditation time so much because it's just there, right? You don't have to go to a meditation center to meditate. You don't have to sacrifice anything. It's just everything's there for you. And so it's easy to get into a rut of just sort of, you know, taking it kind of casually and, you know, even falling asleep and so on in meditation. So it's something that, you know, we really have to be aware of as monastics and trying to develop our meditation is to keep that sense of inspiration and that spark in our practice. So anyway, Simon, what did you think about these verses?
Well, I'm not a monastic, but even as a lay person, I know the experience of nodding off during meditation. And I saw this as a kind of very slightly violent, perhaps, very very strongly worded reminder. I almost thought, actually, reading the text, that it was perhaps even the author talking to himself. I'm not sure if that's present in the Pali.
It's hard to smack yourself in the ear, though.
Even just pulling the lobe?
Pulling the ear is one thing, smacking it is another. Yeah. There are quite a lot of verses in the Theragata which are in that kind of voice, where somebody's like addressing themselves in the third person, exhorting themselves and so on. So you certainly find that quite a lot. But this one doesn't sound to me like that. It sounds like they're talking about some kind of, you know, their friend or some fellow monk who's a bit of a slacker.
Yeah, and it almost doesn't sound like they're so keen on this person even making progress. It's more their perception of what they want them to be doing is interesting. But it interested me, this kind of violent imagery, and the language is very forceful. And you haven't learned to sing, the last line, you haven't learned to sing. It's like, yeah. Why are you wasting your time?
Yeah.
Kind of a depressing thought that...
Yeah, yeah.
You could spend all that time and not develop.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not like an automatic process. It's not like you just come to a monastery and then somehow, you know, wisdom just sort of absorbs through your skin or something like that. You know, you have to make that effort. And if somebody's just slacking off, then it says in the Tayanagata, it says that if you live your monastic life very lax, then you stir up the dust even more.
And what about people in the Sangha, like this in the early days? So obviously, maybe this person was a teacher, or perhaps he's just a friend of the the rag rice monk. Do you think people in those days would have been supportive of other people's practices, or made suggestions like this, or at times been very forceful in order to encourage others to practice Dharma?
Yeah, sure, of course, yeah. So, you know, you're setting up the idea that there's like a standard or an expected behaviour or conduct in the monastery.
Mm.
A few firmly worded, injunctions can motivate somebody, inspire them and get them moving.
Mm.
And so, you know, even though within a Buddhist context, you know, it seems like it's very strong, actually, you know, it's really just, you know, just saying get off him, and it's nothing, there's more strong things that are said in schoolrooms every day.
Mm.
So, it's within that kind of context. But, you know, hopefully, poor old Rag Rice was a bit ashamed and decided to, you know, get a bit more serious with his practice. Yeah.
And even though it is strongly worded, it is directed at the monk in order to make him aware of the need to practice.
Exactly. It's spoken out of compassion. And the thing which I think is easy to overlook is that most of the time when people do this kind of thing, they do it by gossiping. Because they're too gutless to say it to the monkeys themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So they'd say it to someone else. Oh, look at that fellow Rag Rice. Yeah, he's really hopeless. Mm-hmm. No? Rather than actually talking to the person, addressing them and calling them out on their behaviour. Yeah?
Okay.
Which is actually takes a bit of courage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And is there any way that the person might actually hear about the
exactly,
change?
Yeah. So our Venerable Sariputta said that, you know, you should treasure somebody who will give you admonishment. You should follow them around and never leave them.
Mm. Yeah, very interesting again.
Okay.
Thanks, Monte.
Thanks, Simon. Okay, thank you for watching, and we'll see you for the next Dhamma Threads.